Good morning, church. Thank you very much, Brother Heng Sing, for leading us in our prayer. We really want to thank the worship team for leading us in the worship. Such talent, such willingness to serve. Can I ask the worship team to stand up and those in the worship ministry to stand up? I think we should acknowledge them for the hard work week in, week out to lead us in prayer. Please stand up. Join us. What about those who are in the different worship team? Ethan, King Wai, Kevin. Thank you very much for all of you. Thank you. I sing too, well, at least I believe I sing. There are many styles of singing, I'm told. I'm good at singing out of tune. That's my style. One encouraging brother came to me and said, "Wow, Fanny, you're so good in harmonizing." I thank him for the mercy and grace. Today I'm asked to share on Psalm 11. If you have your Bible, please turn to Psalm 11. I've had it here as well, I think. This is taken from the NIV. If you want, can you please stand up with me and read together the Psalm, God's Word together. Verse 1. In the Lord I take refuge. How then can you say to me, "Flee like a bird to your mountain"? For look, the wicked bend their bows, they set their arrows against the strings, to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. He observes everyone on earth. His eyes examine them. The Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked, those who love violence. He hates with a passion. On the wicked he will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. A scorching wind will be their lot. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. The upright will see his face. Please take a seat. May we be blessed in the reading of his word. Now, I'll start with telling you about, share what I thought about the world. Now, there were two world wars in the 20th century. On top of that, there were almost several wars going around the world, almost every decade of the whole century. In Southeast Asia, there was a Vietnam War in the late 60s and 70s. Some of you are not born yet. The Cambodian Civil War, they killed more than 2 million of their own people in the 70s. Closer to home, there was a war against the Malayan communists lasting for 40 years until 1989. The confrontation with Indonesia in the 60s. Many people lost their lives over the wars, especially the Second World War, under the Japanese occupation and the Malayan emergency against the communists. More lost their homes and livelihood. You may have heard story of those from the older generation in Malaysia who were so affected by the Japanese occupation that they refused to buy anything Japanese or use Japanese goods. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. Moving into the 21st century, it is less than a quarter through it. Next year is 2025, a quarter of 21st century, yet the world has seen many conflicts today. The dark colors are those where the conflicts involving more than 10,000 fatality, that means 10,000 people have died during those conflicts. The dark brown color are Ukraine, Sudan, and of course the Gaza Strip, Myanmar. And there are other conflicts too in various parts of the world where thousands of people lose their lives. There are those in Sudan and Ethiopia, in Africa, Yemen and Syria. And of course, the one that we haven't heard too much about are the drug war in Mexico and Colombia, where thousands still lose their life every year. Now, this is the data from UNHCR. where people are displaced and become refugees. This data go back to the end of 2020, before the Ukrainian war started and Gaza war in earnest started. And you see there are 82.4 million people who are displaced, who lost their home, who have to move away from where they live. Of whom, 26 million were refugees where they have to leave their country to go to another country seeking refuge. And there were 48 million people who are internally displaced. By May 2024, less than 4 years, that number has gone up by one third. 84 million, you see, this has become 82 million, you see, has gone up to 120 million people as of May 2024. And the number today will be more than that 2 months later. May 2024, there were 43 million refugees. That has almost doubled in this time. UNHCR, the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugee, define a refugee as someone who has been forced to flee his or her country because of persecution, war, or violence. A refugee has a well-founded fear of persecution for reasons of race, religion, nationality, political opinion, or membership in a particular social group. Most likely, they cannot return home and are afraid to do so. War and ethnicity, tribal and religious violence are leading the causes of refugees fleeing their countries. At the end of June 2024, UNHCR in Malaysia recorded 190,000 refugees on our shores. 90% of those are from Myanmar, comprising about 110,000 Rohingyas. This is the most affected country in Southeast Asia. Now you ask, who are the Rohingyas? The Rohingyas are a Muslim minority in Myanmar, but many Myanmaris believe that they are not of Myanmar. So they are being forced out of their homes, their towns and villages. Many have become refugees in neighboring countries, of course, including Malaysia. But more than 1 million of these have actually walked across the border to Bangladesh, where they have their own political turmoil in the last few weeks, as we have seen. Many in this church have reached out to the refugee communities by providing financial and material support. During the COVID period, members of the church provided computers for their schools. Many up to today are still teaching in the schools for refugees and providing help and support for the refugees. Sister Lona Lowe, is Sister Lona is here? She's been working, serving faithfully among the refugees in the Middle East for many years. We thank you for her. We thank God for her work and for her sacrifice. Many of these refugees would have thought that if they had been relocated to a host nation, especially the West, life would be much better, if not perfect. Is that the reality? At the end of 2020, less than 1% of the refugees are resettled each year, according to UNHCR. Less than 1%. We saw 60 million of refugees, less than 1% are resettled every year. Many refugees are still living in hotels and accommodation, which are temporary, 2 years after arriving in the UK, according to the BBC. Many of them are now facing eviction. The recent trouble in the UK started with a march to remember the tragic killing of 3 innocent children. It then degenerated into riots, with a segment of the British society telling the refugees that they are not welcome in the UK. In reality, most of the refugees still face major social issues of integration in the host nation, even if they have been in the host country for many, many years. They remain socially and economically disadvantaged. Let's come back to Psalm 11. The message is in four parts. There are four subtitles, basically looking at the different verses of the psalm. The title is God is my refuge, because that is the first verse. David said he would seek refuge in the Lord, and he declared that in the very first verse, in the Lord, I take refuge. The background of the psalm is said to be the time when Saul was trying to kill David out of jealousy. The relationship between Saul and David is recorded in the 16th chapter between 1 Samuel 15 to 1 Samuel 31. Now, Saul was the first king of the Jewish nation. David started as the most loyal and devoted of Saul's citizens. When Saul was tormented by an evil spirit, it was David who played the harp to keep the evil spirit away. Now, this is a painting by Rembrandt depicting David playing the harp in front of King Saul. When Saul's army was in the brink of humiliation, it was young David who rose to Goliath's challenge. David became a warrior and a successful general, defeating many enemies for Saul and for Israel. He did everything that Saul asked of him. But in 1 Samuel 18, we read that Saul became jealous of David because David was becoming more popular among the people. So Saul plotted to kill David, who was his son-in-law, and also his son Jonathan's best friend. So Saul had thrown his spear at him three times on two occasions, in 1 Samuel 18 and 1 Samuel 19. Saul sent his army to hunt down David, but yet David managed to escape each time with God's protection. Now, in this psalm, it depicts the danger and the problem that David was facing. He was surrounded by the armed soldiers from Saul's army with arrows ready to shoot at him. In verse 2, it says, "For look, the wicked bend the bows, they set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart." Now, he was advised to flee to the mountain, escape like a bird. Now, this advice could be from his well-meaning friends who had his welfare at heart to escape from Saul, much like Job's friends. Or it could be from his enemies who taunted him and mocked him in his desperation. Whoever his friends were, David answered with great determination and faith, "In the Lord I take refuge. How then can you say to me, flee like a bird to your mountain?" As a result of this personal jealousy and Saul's preoccupation with hunting down David, the foundation of the society was left to degenerate. In verse 3, when the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? This is a destruction of foundation, of life, of security, of the community, of justice, and of religion. This is a time when evil prevails, where the good does not seem to overcome evil. David lamented the helplessness and the desperation of the situation, not just for himself, but for the whole nation of Israel. What can the righteous do? The world order has suddenly collapsed. He's unable to do anything to help or to restore the foundation. Now, very often, when we are in trouble or when we are put through difficulties or trial for which we are in, just like David, when you're in distress, we often ask, is God still there? Where is God? Where is God? In verse 4, David says, "The Lord is in his holy temple." God is in heaven. We can't see him in heaven, but he can see us from heaven. In verse 4, it says he observes everyone on earth. His eyes examine them. He does not only see everyone, he sees the hearts of everyone. He sees beyond the surface and how our mind and our thoughts. He knows what we think, what we are doing, and what we are going to do. There's a Chinese saying, "Yan zoi zou, tin zoi on." 人在看, 人在做, 天在看. But he's also in his holy temple where he's worshipped, and that's what we are doing this morning, worshipping him in his church. This church is not our Pantai Baptist Church. This is our Lord's Pantai Baptist Church. Make it clear. He is in his holy church in communion with his people. He's now in his Pantai Baptist Church in communion with you and me, his children. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. Only a king can sit on a throne as he governs over his nation and his people. That is what our God, our Lord does. He sits on the heavenly throne of glory, where he has dominion over all his creation, all his people. It is the throne of government from which God governs the world. He made the law. He gave us his instruction through his word, the Bible. He even sent the Holy Spirit to guide us and encourage us and to direct us. His heavenly throne is also a throne of judgment where he's going to dispense justice. In verse 5, he says, "The Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked, those who love violence, he hates with a passion." Verse 6, "On the wicked, he will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. Scorching wind will be their lot." Remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Verse 7, "For the Lord is righteous, he loves justice." It is also a throne of mercy and grace to which his people can come to boldly for mercy and grace, where we get what we don't actually deserve, like my singing. David knew this and understood this. That is why he declared in verse 1, "In the Lord I take refuge." There are many times when what we need relief is not in the far future into eternity or until Jesus' second coming. It is now that I need God to be here to help me, to save me, to get me out of trouble. Is God interested in my problems? Is God here to hear my problems and deal with them here and now? Psalm 6, verse 3, another David psalm. "My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord, how long?" Even David was feeling so desperate. He was asking, "How long more? Would you hear me?" But in the same psalm, in verse 9, it says, "The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer." It is this experience that he says, "In God, I take my refuge." Is Jesus here today to hear my plea for help and hear my cry? Will Jesus be interested in my daily struggle and my seemingly mundane worries? My worries must be very small for the problem in this world you have to solve, my Lord. But does he ever, you may ask, does he ever come to the help of those who need help? Read the Bible. He suddenly fed the 5,000 hungry men who came to hear him preached in the mountainside. He made the lame walk and the blind see. He calmed the storm. He defeated the devil by chasing out the evil spirit out of man with epilepsy. Not until his second coming again. What will Jesus still do it today? Of course he will. He has sent the Holy Spirit, don't forget, to be with us, so that the Holy Spirit is in the same boat with us when we go through the storm of our lives. Yes, he's here with us today as we worship him in his holy temple. He will never turn away from us as we approach his heavenly throne, his throne of mercy and grace. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are wearied and burdened, and I will give you rest." A promise of God. Jesus said it himself. So God was a refuge for David and was a refuge for Abraham and Moses before David. God was a refuge for the sick and the lame and the blind in Jesus' time. Jesus is going to be a refuge for us today and at all times. How many of you know this guy? None. Really uncultured lot you are. This is Jin Yong Gam Yong. was a famous author of Chinese martial art novels. He has written 15 novels, and many of them have been made into movies or TV drama series. He would be 100 years old this year if he was still alive. You have heard about the Condor Trilogy? Oh, you haven't heard of Sun Diu Hap Lui, Se Diu Ying Hong Ge, Yi Tin Tou Long Ge. This is the Condor Trilogy, all right? These three books, along the same characters, two generations, are particularly popular. There's also Tin Long Ba Bo. Heard of that? Okay. His characters are likable. The plots are intriguing. The storylines are captivating. One of the favorite novels, Se Diu Ying Hong Jun, which is the first of the Condor Trilogy, started with the agreement of two different groups of martial art masters bringing up two boys, Gok Jing and Yong Hong, to have fight between them when they both turned 18 years old. 18 years later. So it was an agreement of two, when they were newborn, they say, okay, look, you take one, I take one. We'll train them to be martial art master. We will have a fight 18 years later. In the meantime, there was no contact between the two groups, and there was no way of finding out the other party is going to turn up. Both groups will make great effort to prepare for the fight, to fulfill the agreement. And so as the story went, they did. If you read the whole 15 novels, you will find that there are three overriding forces that drive the behavior of the characters in all the novels. One is trust. Trust between two parties. What was promised will be fulfilled. No need to sign contract. The agreement between the boys when they were born to have a showdown between them would be fulfilled 18 years later. It was promised between the two parties. No need lawyers, no need witness, no need signatures, no need paper to say that we are going to do that in 18 years' time. The second is yihei, brotherhood, where the problem or responsibility of your close friends is taken as your own. And the other is revenge, yao shao bi bo. The fight between the good and the bad in the novel is always about revenge. It will be the kill. It may be from the killing of the members of the family or of the same sect or classmate in the kung fu sect, you know, tong mun si heng dai. Or good friends or brothers in arm, ki pai heng dai. You touch him, you touch me. Okay? Greater still, the drive to avenge the murder of their sifu, cham la, lei sa jiao de sifu. Okay? This revenge may be even from a hurt or humiliation from many years before. This can fester for generations and drive them to go through hardship and sacrifices, sometimes the whole lifetime, to learn a new type of kung fu, to take revenge, to enable them to get even. This would drive them to even terminate suddenly their romantic relationship with their fiancé, to single-mindedly prepare for this revenge. Such vengefulness and such overbearing bitterness. Even if they have gotten their revenge, not only they have ruined the lives of those who died under their swords, they have also ruined their own lives. If they have managed to forgive their enemies, I'm sure they will live much happier lives. But then there will not be a story to tell. Se Diu Ying Hong Jun, Legend of the Condor Heroes, has an agreement that was fulfilled 18 years later. The Bible of ours contains many agreements that have been fulfilled and is being fulfilled and will be fulfilled. Those fulfilled agreements have been over thousands of years, not 18 years, and there are more to be fulfilled. Amen. These agreements are called covenants. Covenants are promises made by God to his people, and unlike many contemporary agreements, it does not depend on us doing our parts for God to do his. God promises to be, He will be just, and His justice will prevail at all times. We know this promise of God will be fulfilled, because it says in verse 5 to 7, the Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked, those who love violence, He hates with a passion. On the wicked, He will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. A scorching wind will be their lot. For the Lord is righteous, He loves justice. There are times when we may have been so offended and so hurt that we want to take revenge. Some of these bitterness stay with us for a long time. God says, I see everything and I know all your situations. I see the injustice and your suffering. Don't worry. You just need to move on in life and let me deal with them. Give me your bitterness and let me take that load off your shoulder. You forgive as I have forgiven you. Romans 12:19. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. Children reflect the Father's character. As God the Father is righteous, the children of God the Father are righteous too. As God sits on the throne of mercy and grace, we should also reflect God's mercy and grace to the people around us, even our enemies. Because Jesus taught us on the Sermon on the Mount, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for them who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, but sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. David has implied himself to be upright in heart in verse 2, righteous in verse 3, and even the upright who will see the face of God in verse 7. How can David be so assuming and have so much confidence in front of our Almighty God? How can he claim to be having the character of God? It's definitely not by his own credit or by his high moral standard. In Psalm 16, which is another David's psalm, I say to the Lord, he says, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. He recognized his wretchedness. David knows that by trusting in the Lord our God, he was made upright. By seeking refuge in the Lord, he was made righteous. In Exodus 33:20, when God says to Moses, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Yet David declared here that the righteous will see his face and live. This righteousness comes from the throne of mercy and grace. John 3:16, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. By believing in Jesus, the Son of God, our sins will be washed away and we can come to the throne of grace through the blood of Christ. We too are made righteous in God's sight. Those who seek refuge in God are refugees to God. The Rohingyas are in Myanmar, but they are considered not to be of Myanmar, so they have been forced out of Myanmar. Paul told us that Christians are not in the world, but not of the world. But there's a huge difference, though, between that. The Rohingyas are still trying to seek refuge somewhere in the world that they may take them to escape from the persecution in Myanmar. And sadly, less than 1% of those who get to apply succeed every year. Even those who are successful in getting to the host nation, many are still languishing in temporary accommodation, and after many years are still in poverty, are being treated as second-class citizens. Romans 3:22. Paul said, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Those who seek and trust in Christ Jesus and seek refuge in God do not only take on the character of God as righteous, but they are also children of God. Galatians 3:26, in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. Far from being a second-class citizen in the unfortunate refugees in this world, those who are refugees to God are children of God who live and share in the kingdom of God. We are heirs and co-heirs with Christ, according to Paul in Romans 8:17. Heirs and co-heirs with Christ, not a second-class citizens. The Bible says we are in the world, but not of the world. This is because we are a better world to go to, where there is eternal life and eternal peace, as compared with eternal death and strife and wars in this world. This new world is open to all of us who put our faith in God and His only Son, Jesus Christ, as our personal Savior. Taking refuge in God makes us a new creation and gives us a status of God's children and inheritance of eternal life. At the same time, God's children take on the characters of God of being righteous and being upright in God's sight. Through Jesus, as a sacrificial lamb to us, we receive eternal life in God. Righteousness is best explained by the Chinese word for righteousness, yi. The bottom is wo, wo, me, I. The top is a lamb, with the Lamb of God above me that makes me righteous. Without the Lamb of God above me, it is just me who is in this world with the strife and the war and the sinfulness. When we have taken our problems to God and seek Him as our refuge, we should leave our problems for Him to solve. Nothing is impossible for Him. Nothing is insurmountable for Him. Allow Him to guide us to navigate seemingly impossible terrain in the journey. Allow Him to close some doors and open some doors. Allow Him to grant us the peace that is beyond our understanding. We sang just now, "Be still and know that I'm God," taken from Psalm 46:10. Be still to know that the power of God is here. The glory of God is here. Be still. We should also leave Him to deal with those who may have created problems for us. Jesus said, "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, for all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." We leave our guilt and bitterness at the feet of our God. We just need to look up to His holy temple and His heavenly throne. We shall see His face, and like Moses, our faces shall shine, reflecting His glory. Our lives too shall reflect His glory in righteousness, His mercy, and grace. I come across this. It says, worry is a conversation you have with yourself about things you cannot change. Prayer is a conversation with God about things He can change. Taking refuge in God allows us to have this conversation with God that moves God's hand to change our circumstances or to change our hearts. Let's pray. Jesus declared, "I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Dear God, our Father, thank you for your presence here this morning. You know there are some here who are experiencing challenges in our lives. Be they difficult relationship, be they health issue, be they financial issue, unforgiveness, you know them. You know these problems. You've asked us to come to you to seek your refuge, come to you to seek your peace, come to you to seek your presence. We thank you for your promises that we will see your face and you will take your load, you will take our load off our shoulder. Father, there are some here who may have yet to accept Jesus as their God and Savior. You have promised that they will never go hungry or thirsty. Please reveal yourself to them and grant them your salvation and your presence. We thank you for enlightening us with your word, assuring us with your presence, and a new life that reflects your glory. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.